Busted Pencils is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on a Tuesday night, Madison, right up to the wire. Oh, teaching and learning during COVID, technology, you name it, Zoom, Facebook Live, I think it's up. Everybody's out there. Johnny Lupinacci's in Washington. I can see him. Our guests are there. We're not going to introduce them yet unless you can see them on the Facebook Live, but welcome, everybody. It is the show where educated educators get to talk education. The only show, right, Johnny, where truly...
One of them, and just what a wonderful space to be learning all the time. Together with folks leading us in the direction that I just think unarguably right now seems to be, it doesn't even seem to be, is the way that we can learn to do better in our schools, in our communities. So excited to have guests tonight. Excited to be back with you, Tim, on a Tuesday and with our listeners.
Yeah. And so I want to get into this. We cover every topic there is, and this is one that, so... Last, on the March 31st, on the week of action to commemorate annual International Trans Day of Visibility, there was a letter released. 17,300 educators and scholars signed on to this letter to President Biden to support trans youth. Now, our guests, Jill Peterson, Associate Professor of English at the University of Pittsburgh and the author of the award-winning book, Histories of the Transgender Child, A Comprehensive History of Transgender Children and Their Interactions with Medicine Over the Past Century, is one of our guests. And Harper B. Keenan is the Robert Quartermain Professor of Gender and Sexuality Research and Research in Education at the University of British Columbia, where he's the faculty director of SOGI UBC, which addresses gender and sexuality and teacher education. Special guests, Harper, Jules, turn off your mute buttons. You are welcome to the show. Busted Pencils fully recognizes you. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks so much for having us. That felt like a little bit of a rock star intro, so okay. Much appreciated.
Well, thank you, because I was having obviously like a little bit of a reading issue there. I think, again, it came up to that right at the last minute times. But okay, so Jules and Harper, Harper and I kind of discussed this, right? And so 17,300 educators signing this, and just talking about this trans youth. And one of the things when Busted Pencils, we said, you know, I always want to bring topics to somebody to make sure that they go, I didn't know that. And this really, for me, I think, is one of those issues where my sense is, and this is where, Jules, you're going to come in and jump right into this, is that people hearing about this letter for the first time are like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, trans, that's been one of those things that's been happening in like the last 5 years. Right? As if there's not this history and a historian that you take on to tell this story. So before we get into this letter and the issue, though, Jules, I mean, for somebody who's out there saying, look, you know, here it is. It's the woke culture. Of course, we're talking about trans. It's all the uppity stuff and it's the rage and we need to do this. There's a history here. Give us a little bit of a history, Jules.
Well, thanks for inviting me to give a bit of a history. You know, I actually, you know, I super understand why folks feel like this is something that I'm just sort of hearing about, or I think a lot of people woke up last week and saw the news out of Arkansas, which has been a roller coaster, by the way, because, you know, the governor, you know, ended up vetoing this bill, but the legislator overrode the veto today. So sort of a sad ending today. But a lot of folks waking up and seeing the harshness, actually just the really the cruelty of that bill, and thinking, how is this happening? You know, and starting to do some of that initial research. And I think what has happened, right, really understandably, is that we're living through this moment where trans people are really visible culturally. And that includes kids and youth. I mean, you can see them playing characters on, you know, Netflix streaming shows. You can see them online. They're in film, right? And there's this sort of cultural visibility, but there's a way that that leads people to think, okay, so maybe they're probably weren't trans kids until, you know, 5-10 years ago, simply because I've never heard of them. I don't know them, you know. I mean, that's the thing though. It's like, you might actually know trans kids, you don't even know them. But in terms of thinking historically, right, that's sort of where I come in. And I want to think a little critically, right, about what happens when you're part of a minority group that's framed as so brand new, right? If you're brand new, first of all, it suggests that there's something not totally real about who you are because you haven't always existed. And second, I think it invites all this kind of scrutiny, caution, and really emotional reactions, right? And in some ways, what that means is the folks who have picked trans youth and trans people as their kind of political football or wedge issue have pounced first, have really gotten out there and defined the issue, and actually work on historical amnesia, right? They want us to all sound like, No, kids aren't really trans. There are just these new medications that doctors really want to give kids, right? Which is not true. They really don't actually want to give them. But yeah, you know, I think for me, what I end up sort of wanting to say baseline, right? You know, trans people aren't created by medicine. We've been around a long time. You know, our lives have changed a lot and are profoundly affected by, you know, medical care, which is why, you know, these bills around schools and healthcare are really important. But you can go back as far as you want, and you'll find trans people, and among them, you'll find kids. It was even a surprise to me, though, when I started doing my research as a professional historian. You know, there were zero articles, zero books, not even any popular sources on the history of children identifying as trans during childhood, right? I mean, of course, lots of trans adults say, well, you know, my childhood was very, you know, gender nonconforming or whatever, but I'm talking about kids who actually in childhood transitioned, identified as trans, lived differently than the gender they were assigned at birth. And that actually has a rich, long history in this country. And what I think that that does so importantly right now is if you look at it through that historical lens, then all the debate unfolding in the present that's all about, you know, cultural politics, disinformation, fake news, et cetera, you know, all of that just sort of starts to crumble and you start to actually see real people's lives and real people's testimony. And that to me is a really important thing that's missing right now.
And Jules, that's where I think we're bringing that into this and saying, you know, there's a long history of children identifying as trans. I think, you know, and again, where you're at listening to this and thinking about that, it's okay also to say, I didn't know that, because that's what we're doing tonight. We want to make sure that before we get to why we put together this letter and why so many people are signing on to this action is to understand that what you just pointed out, the history of trans children is something that's been there for a long time. And this isn't just something, oh, let's make up a new group to support. Let's make up this. There's a long history of really not just an emotional toll for that has been lived out by these kids and that they're currently living out today, which is why we really want to talk about the letter where Harper's going to join us eventually. Hold on, Harper, just chill out. You know, is but to understand though that history. So when I thought about this too, as a social studies person, a history teacher, I'm like, where do you get source material to do this type of work, Jules? I mean, anybody out there is thinking like, you said it, so where do you find this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Thank you for asking sure. it too. You know, and again, right, it's like there is a long history, but it's not a history that people know, right? It really tested my methods as a historian to do this work. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of writing for the public. I just put out an op-ed in the New York Times that tried to summarize some of this historical research. And one of the reasons why is I think it's actually important to say, we don't know these stories. We didn't know these kids, right? And you know, even the account that I can provide, it's not like you get to know them personally. You know, there are all sorts of ways that a historian has to be careful in writing about people in the past, but we didn't know these stories. That's why it matters to hear them now, right? I don't expect people to feel like they totally have wrapped their heads around, you know, what trans childhood is just from reading one article, but actually you don't have to understand the ins and outs of transness or gender in order to understand the stories of kids, right? So actually, in terms of doing this history, it started for me as a history of trans medicine. I was looking in the medical archive at a lot of the major American kind of research hospitals over the whole course of the 20th century that, you know, put together the sort of hormonal, surgical, psychiatric protocols that everyone is subject to if your gender or your sex is medicalized, not just trans people. But the experimentation was done on trans children and intersex children. So it was done on people who were still being treated, you know, as deviant or different, and who were being medicalized and pathologized. But I was really sort of surprised myself, right? So I was just wading through archival documents, dusty old boxes. I mean, you know, the kind of stuff that brings this nerd great joy, where I started to see, now hold on, you know, there is this really archaic medical model. It's very hard to see a doctor, right, to transition, say, in the 1960s. Extremely hard. You almost couldn't, you know, get any surgery in this country, but there were kids there. And so I just started following the paper trail and kind of started to find out that, you know, kids were reading medical journals, they were reading newspapers, finding out about, you know, trans words and concepts, and they, with or without their parents' help, were finding ways of getting in contact with medical professionals, and in some cases, successfully transitioning. So kind of blew my mind too, just to dispel that myth, right? To me, I myself did not know there was this rich history at the beginning. It was not something I set out to research. I kind of fell into it and it became too interesting to resist.
Well, that, wow. Johnny, talk about, you know, again, that story, two social studies teachers like us, and, you know, I'm always like the source material has got to be so rich. And for you just to make that pathway and to find it through medical literature and then people start to go, well, that makes sense now, because I can imagine, you know, 65 years ago, a child in that situation having this thinking, where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I do? And, well, I'm going to look medically. Now, though, 80 bills over the past 3 months going after trans kids. When we get back at the break, we're going to talk to Harper Keenan about that in the letter. More Busted Pencils back at the break.